Dominaria, a plane whose vast geography is mirrored by the depths of its history. A history not beholden to the past, shackled in antiquity, but that lives in the present. Its scars jut from the landscape as reminders of what Dominaria has suffered. War, devastation, oblivion, under the inexorable march of time. And yet these ruins offer promise that the plane will endure any difficulty. They also act as signposts, rock in strata, signifying past events and periods in history where battles were won, empires crumbled, fears realized, and heroes born. Dominaria's ruins whisper on the breeze, beckoning all to uncover their stories. The page begins in negative 25,000 AR. Eons ago, a primal force of the blind eternities descended upon nascent Dominaria. From its unfurled wings, the Ur-Dragon's progeny fell, meteoric eggs impacting the surface of the plane as they hatched. Thus, the Elder Dragons were born. Content to at first range across Dominaria, subduing ancient tribes and civilizations, the Elder Dragons quickly found their greatest foes lurked amongst their own ranks. Spurred by the manipulative Nicol Bolas, whose ambition knew no bounds in a lust for power, the dragons marshaled forces across their kingdoms to conquer another. In a flash, all of Dominaria was embroiled in the Elder Dragon War. Siblings fought another, fire lit the clouds, the earth trembled, and dragons plummeted. 4,000 years the war dragged, from snow-capped peaks to crashing seashores. When dust and ash settled, only 7 dragons could claim victory. Arcades Sabbath, Palladia Moors, Chromium Rule, Piru, Vevictus Osmadi, and the twin planeswalkers Ugin and Nicol Bolas. The Elder Dragon War is immortalized in the saga bearing its name, a reminder of the primordial forces that molded Protean Dominaria. The rest of the dragons were brutally slaughtered or stripped of their wings, rank, and power. 5 of the 7 pursued their advancement on the still young plain, while the twins sought worlds beyond reach, lands across time. From the sulfuric ash of war emerged the time of legends, heroes forged in the fires of myth, cast of indomitable will, forever seared their names into Dominarian history. Characters, the likes of Halfdane, Hazazon Tamar, the planeswalker Savitri Skarzam, and the great warrior Stang, won notoriety through bold action, securing glory for themselves in a time where power was available to those who took it. In Karondor, the planeswalker Gaedron Dihada manipulated renowned blacksmith Dakin Blackblade and tied his will to her own. Their feud culminated in the Blackblade-Dihada War, which saw the death of Elder Dragon Piru, destruction on Karondor, and birth of the legendary House Carthalion, whose bloodlines yet flow in Dominaria's present. To the south, the city-states and nascent civilizations of Jamura became embroiled in war, instigated by Johann, Tyrant of Tiris. This self-preserving emperor of the northern realms was fueled to bloodlust by great ambition to dominate all of Jamura. Johann's war erupted across the continent, claiming thousands until the wizard was defeated by combined effort of Jedid Ojanin of Ephrava and Hazazon Tamar. Though these events greatly influenced the period, many other characters rose across Dominaria in the time of legends, history determining their labels of hero or villain. The Thran emerged from Dominaria's primordial mythos and cemented their nation as the first great civilization on the plain, harnessing the potential of power stones to fuel advanced technologies, a breakthrough discovered by Glacian, genius of Halcyon. Thran artifice dominated Terrasier and vaulted the civilization to new heights. Their power came at significant cost. An intractable illness caused by power stone radiation seized the nation, a truth the Thran refused to acknowledge. Infirmaries reached capacity. Death rattles echoed through cobbled streets. In desperation, the Thran sought a cure from the brilliant, exiled healer Yawgmoth, who had embraced vile practices in eugenics and experimentation to widen his understanding of the natural world. Yawgmoth brought the Thran a cure and much else. The healer claimed the artificial plane of Phyrexia and connected it to Dominaria through a planar portal in the Caves of the Damned, the stinking underbelly of the Thran capital. Here he brought the sick and dying for experimentation. In a process known as Phyresis, Yawgmoth transformed the afflicted into superior beings not entirely human, but entirely obedient to his will. The first Phyrexians were born. On Dominaria, he used fear of the illness and salvation of his cure to wrest political control from Thran ruling elite. The Empire fell to civil war as a united Thran alliance stood against the usurper and lord of Phyrexia. Thousands of loyal Phyrexians swarmed through the planar portal and fought Thran on sun-baked deserts surrounding the capital of Halcyon. The civil war ended in a brilliant flash of light as mana-charged bombs of pure energy were detonated, erasing millions from existence. The Thran Empire was obliterated, its legacy surviving only in the bones of ruined cities and derelict artifacts. The portal between Phyrexia and Dominaria sealed, Yawgmoth was trapped on his artificial plane. But the Dark God lusts for what was denied him, and Yawgmoth spends millennia plotting his eventual return. Thousands of years after the fall of the Thran, and nations divide Tarsier's landscape. In the nation of Argive, two brothers are born on the first and last day of the same year and destined to make their mark on Dominaria. The siblings, Urza and Mishra, struggle to assert superiority against each other and compete for the favor of their mentor. Sibling rivalry, born from the proximity of their age, molds the pair into prodigious artificers as they seek to understand the ways of Thran technology in archaeological dig sites across Tarisier's desert. Fate brings the pair to the caves of Koilos, ruins of the Thran capital, which had been known by the Caves of the Damned, where they inadvertently unbind the locked gate to Phyrexia by splitting its power stone seal in two. These stones, imbued with great power, drive the brothers apart as each lusts for the others. Rivalry is consumed by hatred, competition by malice. Urza and Mishra's strained relationship is severed completely when they raise arms against another as the leaders of Tarisier's preeminent nations. The continent is engulfed in a conflict where the genius of artifice demonstrates its destructive potential. The brothers' war sees Mishra and his Falaji nation struggle to destroy Urza, master of Yosha and Lord High Artificer of Argive. This conflict consumed life and land for decades. City-states fall to relentless machines of metal fueled by depleting natural resources. Tarisier becomes a burnt husk as black smoke chokes the sky and cries of the dying ring out across blood-stained battlefields. No end is in sight. The brothers, filled with venom, are unable to reason with another to repair past grievances. As war drags, Phyrexian agents sent from the unlocked portal infiltrate Dominarian society to spread the blessings of their god and prepare Tarisier for a conquering force. Their priests whisper lies to an aging and delirious Mishra, who's converted to their cause, his flesh replaced with metal. The brothers' conflict comes to a disastrous conclusion on the island of Argoth. Possessed of immense guilt for the outcomes of his actions and the realization that his brother Mishra has been consumed and transformed into a Phyrexian by their agents, Urza pours his anguish into the Golgothian Silex, an artifact of unknown origin with cataclysmic potential. Urza's activation of the Silex unleashes a torrent of mana that obliterates Argoth, destroys armies, and ignites the artificer's planeswalker spark in an explosion that reverberates through the annals of Dominaria's history for millennia. This flashpoint is immortalized in the illustration of Urza's ruinous blast, the flavor text of which reads, "Centuries ago, one man's vengeance plunged the world into ice and darkness." The Brothers' War ends at significant cost. Dominaria is plunged into plain-wide ice age as climate change cools the land. Tarisier stands broken, the torch of enlightenment presented by artifice extinguished by all who have witnessed its destructive potential. Metal and magic alike are abhorred as a period of technological stagnation descends. Beyond the plain's reach, a barrier begins to coalesce, trapping Dominaria and 11 others within a shard that disconnects them from the rest of the multiverse. Urza's name is carried on in curses and hateful memory as the planeswalker spends thousands of years consumed by one task, the destruction of Phyrexia. The effects unleashed in the wake of the Silex blast are far-reaching, but take centuries to completely materialize. These years of slow climate change, of intellectual regression, and dynastic collapse are known as the Dark, a time when much of Dominaria eschewed magic or artifice, instead embracing zealous superstition. Kingdoms that survived generations fell to ruin. Fear gripped every heart as crops produced increasingly meager yields. The Dark represents a period of stagnation from which Dominaria would take centuries to overcome. Amid this backdrop, the empires of Sarpedia, mighty and arrogant, succumb to external threats or internal hubris, their downfall codified in the volumes of Sarpedian empires. The Ebon Hand and the Elves of Havenwood are struck down by their own creations, overwhelmed by countless thralls and thalads. Dwarven nations, Vodalian merfolk, and Icatian knights buckled under external invasion. Tragic in their death, the fall of Sarpedia's empires highlight the power vacuum of the Dark. Centuries later, in 450 AR, an icy hand grips Dominaria beneath heavy snows and massive glaciers. Climate change is fully materialized in the time of ice. The Ice Age is a period of survival, hardship, rediscovery. Budding nations struggle against endless frost to rebuild what was lost in the Dark. Curiosity breeds generations of archaeologists and artificers that chisel through frozen layers to uncover ancient technologies used during the Brothers' War and beyond. On Teresier, the nation of Kaldor is hewn from biting frosts, erected on the skeleton of Argive to become the leading civilization during the Ice Age. Outposts dot mountain passes, and outriders patrol both snow and sky to defend the nation from raids by their fiercest opponents, barbarians beyond the Balduvian steppes. Balduvian warbands terrorize Kaldor and hinterlands mercilessly, razing villages and slaughtering hundreds in their pillage. Fierce animosity grew between the two nations, which afforded a grave threat, time to build momentum unimpeded. The necromancer Limdul used dark magic to secure power from his fortress of Tressorhorn. Further assisted by planeswalkers Leshrac and Tevish Zot, Limdul amassed a grand army of undead to fuel his ambition for conquest. Now, not only was Kaldor harried by Balduvian warbands, but fortresses succumbed to the relentless march of the dead. Although their past grievances couldn't be forgotten, so great was Limdul's threat that bitter rivals allied themselves to defeat the necromancer. On snow-dusted tundras, the armored living crossed steel with the skeletal dead. Though Limdul's power immeasurable, the combined arms of united Teresier took the field and crushed the necromancer's campaign. Fighting for a just cause opened Kaldoran and Balduvian eyes to opportunity and cooperation. Their bitter past couldn't be forgotten, but it could be forgiven. The aftermath of Limdol's war saw King Darian of Kaldor unite with Lovisa Coldeyes of Balduvia, thus birthing the nation of New Argive. This union, defeat over death and discrimination, is immortalized in the saga Time of Ice. Shortly after, tumultuous change comes to Dominaria with the casting of the World Spell by Planeswalker Freyales. This snaps the chill of the Ice Age, shatters the Shard of 12 Worlds, and brings forth the Flood Age. Across the plain, glaciers recede to reveal unclaimed lands while rising tides inundate others entirely. Pestilence throttles populations as warming temperatures create new opportunities for disease. As Dominaria shakes off its snow, there are some who wish to preserve eternal frost. Cryomancer Hydar leads the Cult of Rhymewind in efforts to undo the World Spell. They see in the thaw destruction of their way of life, which we hear in the flavor text of Rhymewind Cryomancer. The thaw brings flooding, disease, and death. We will do all in our power to bring frigid peace back to the world. Melting ice relinquishes its grip over much of the past as ancient ruins and sinister relics free themselves from glaciers. Hydar uncovers Phyrexian artifice and war machines from the Brothers' War hidden beneath sheets of ice, imbues them with function, and mobilizes them against New Argive. Teresier relives ancient nightmares as machines and artifice ravage the continent. But New Argive proves stalwart. With assistance from Fintorn and Yavimaya, Hydar is defeated and the dream of eternal frost extinguished. The Ice Age comes to an end and periods of relative peace blanket Teresier, allowing it to rebuild in this new world. But beneath the foreground and beyond comprehension, a bitter rivalry boils between Urza Planeswalker and Yawgmoth of Phyrexia. The Shard of 12 Worlds shattered, Dominaria sits precariously unprotected, vulnerable to Phyrexian incursions as Yawgmoth plans an ultimate invasion no one besides Urza can truly understand. Nearly 1,000 years, Dominaria acts as board and battleground, an elaborate chess match between Urza and Yawgmoth, a supreme test of wills played for the greatest stakes. Each side tests another, probing for weakness and sabotaging progress. Their match commences with Urza's founding of the Tolarian Academy, a school isolated where the brightest students conduct experiments to perfect Urza's designs against Phyrexia. Here, he gives life to Karn and manipulates time streams in efforts to defeat Yawgmoth in the past. The Dark God counters by sending sleeper agent Krik to destroy the Academy. In this dangerous manipulation of pawns, Urza begins assembly of the Legacy, a weapon of combined artifacts with the destructive potential to reduce Yawgmoth to dust, and launches the Bloodlines project at various facilities across Dominaria. This genetic manipulation of family trees is intended to reduce the heir to the Legacy, an individual capable of unleashing the weapon's full potential as Dominaria's salvation. But the Planeswalker isn't alone in his far-reaching designs. On Phyrexia, the Dark God Yawgmoth sets plans into motion that have brewed for centuries. He intends to launch a Phyrexian invasion of Dominaria on a scale never before seen in the multiverse. The first phase sees sleeper agents and advanced strike teams deployed to deadly effect, destabilizing and destroying strategic Dominarian holdings. The second, and most ambitious, is launched during the Wrathi overlay, when the pocket plane and staging ground for Phyrexia's main force materializes on top of Dominaria. The two planes collide, bringing millions of Phyrexians to bear against Dominaria's coalition. War consumes every continent. Blood and oil saturate the lands as millions are slain. Invasion culminates in the final phase as Yawgmoth himself descends upon the plane, a sinister cloud of death whose miasma kills in an instant, highlighted in the Art of Toxic Deluge. There is no defense. Dominaria places all hope of survival on the shoulders of Gerard Capuchin, heir to the Legacy, and the crew of Skyship Weatherlight. Gerard sacrifices himself to activate the Legacy and unleash its potential. A sentient blast of pure mana pierces Yawgmoth as the Lord of Phyrexia, Destroyer of the Thran, Tormentor of Dominaria, plummets to his death. All around, destruction blankets the plain, as Dominaria reels from invasion, pushed to the very edge of oblivion. Countless lives snuffed out, nations buckled under Phyrexian assaults, ideals and virtues shattered. And yet no word could better describe the outcome than victory. Yawgmoth's mark and the scars of invasion linger for generations, open wounds sensitive to the slightest touch. Dominaria falls to its knees, ready to crumble under the weight of the next great threat, one that arrives with the Time Spiral Crisis. The Silex Blast, Wrathi Overlay, millennia of temporospatial manipulation, tease at reality's thread until it unravels completely. Across Dominaria, pockets of altered space burst, tears in time rip through alternate dimensions as past and future entwine, depositing creatures from ages gone while hurtling others to distant lands. The Time Spiral Crisis destabilizes the plane's foundation as Dominaria buckles under paradox. Temporal rifts slice mana ley lines, leeching vital force from the land. Without nourishment, growth stagnates and Dominaria withers. Forests, once vibrant with greenery, now brown and shrivel. River flows halt, and arid desert sands swallow cities whole. Many cannot adapt to the drastic change that shapes Dominaria and fall prey to the dangers of a toxic plane in its death throes. The Planeswalker Teferi assumes much responsibility for his actions in causing the temporal crisis. His guilt spurs the Walker to action as Teferi seeks the aid of others in sealing the largest rifts. Through noble sacrifice of spark and at times life, the Planeswalkers succeed in restoring the time stream, saving Dominaria in an action that would have lasting ramifications for the multiverse. This great mending healed battered Dominaria, pruned alternate branches of reality, and rewove desiccated mana ley lines. An unforeseen effect transformed the nature of the Planeswalker spark. No longer immortal, ethereal beings with godlike abilities, Planeswalkers lost much of their vaulted status and power, now unable to unravel the restored fabric of reality through their actions. Memorial to the Great Mending is on display in the illustration of its saga. Through heroic intervention, or perhaps shameful guilt, Dominaria is restored and resurgent. The Great Mending enacted, mana once more surged through Dominaria, which the plane drank as though it had thirsted forever. Lands torn asunder by time rifts were re-sown. Mana-deprived deserts rejuvenated into idyllic wildlands. An aura of renewal persists through the aptly named Mending Era of Dominaria. Wounds of the past not forgotten, but scarred over as the plane looks to hope promised by the future. The sentiment is echoed in the illustrations of cards like Hinterland Harbor, in which a destroyed Phyrexian portal now shelters a port town bustling with activity, as well as Grow from the Ashes, showcasing a machine of war overtaken by natural growth. These and countless other ruins act as constant reminders of Dominaria's past suffering, yet bright future. New nations are forged, alliances old renewed, fires of creativity burnish hearts and minds. On Arona, new Benalia emerges from the sanded ruins of old, its armored knights holding on to ancestral ideals and forming tentative alliances with Llanowar's Elfhames and Kelt's warbands. The embattled races of Shiv have set aside differences and chartered the creation of a united Shivan nation. New Argive solidifies its role as shepherd of the Three Sierian Isles, and the consciousness of Yavimaya, once battered by Phyrexia, stirs again, grasping at lands beyond its borders. But not all is peaceful convalescence. Teferi and Jamura mourn the loss of Zalfir to the time stream. A silent void now holds its place where anguished memories carry on the breeze. They're preserved in Zalfirin Chronicler and the saga Phasing of Zalfir. Trouble stirs on the Burning Isles. Cabal cultists extend their influence from a new center within Phyrexia's stronghold. Their dark priests corrupt malleable souls, while agents infiltrate other nations to sow discord. Valiant knights of Free Urborg oppose Cabalists to wrest control of the Isles. A dark force, familiar, lusts for Dominaria from beyond the blind eternities. The shadow of an emboldened new Phyrexia casts its pall over the plain as it seeks to prevail where its predecessor could not. Conquer Dominaria, integrate its people into a twisted vision of Phyrexian perfection. Already, the Praetor Sheoldred has infiltrated and planted Phyrexian sleeper agents across the plain, her efforts furthered by the warped devotion of Rona and the Brotherhood of Gix. Nightmares not seen on Dominaria for centuries coalesce as Sheoldred activates her invasion force. Phyrexia is again at hand. Karn, Silver Golem, knows the danger of this foe intimately. He faced invasion alongside his creator Urza and nearly succumbed to new Phyrexia's corruption as it consumed his plane of Argentum. Burdened with guilt and responsibility, the Planeswalker uncovers the legendary Golgothian Silex, intent on using it against new Phyrexia. As sleeper agents and mechanical abominations swarm all sides, a new coalition stands united to defend Dominaria. The key to unlocking the Silex power lies deep in the past. Teferi must travel through time to the events of the Brothers' War and witness its activation. For the past holds salvation not only for Dominaria, but the rest of the multiverse as the shadow of new Phyrexia extends across the blind eternities. Dominaria, a plane rich with history of myths and legends, of heroism and sacrifice, of renewal and desolation. A plane that has faced extinction and been carved by the inviolable blades of those warriors that have passed into memory. A plane that lives with its past and seeks guidance from it to better shepherd its future. Though no longer the nexus of the multiverse, Dominaria yet stands as an integral location as realms must stand united in the face of the latest threat. Thanks so much for watching and listening to this video on the history of Dominaria. Now I want to hear from you. Let me know which time period is your favorite and which characters capture your imagination. And if you're a fan of Lauren's storytelling, consider subscribing to the channel or checking out the podcast where content's uploaded frequently. Again, a huge shout out to all of my Patreon supporters who make all of this possible. I couldn't do it without their spectacular patronage. If you're interested in becoming a lore luminary for access to me, a great community, and early video drops, check out the link below or head to patreon.com/lorebarians to learn more. Until next time, go forth and explore the lore.